If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Mama Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Generally, we're going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws on business, associated with the, or issued by the fatwas by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, you know, we know that in this day and age,
most of the countries, in fact, work in the business areas, and they, you know, and economy is so important in the relationship between the countries, right?
Right.
Well, and in so doing, should Israeli goods be available on the open market in a Muslim country? Can Muslims buy them, especially when it is possible to buy other goods imported from other countries?
Well, it's very important to discuss this topic from the viewpoint of the religious authorities, scholars, and the jurists, such as the Supreme Leader, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course. There is no doubt that buying Israeli products helps the Israeli economy. It helps them raise funds to perpetrate more crimes. And in this time around, the killing and murder of the Palestinian men and women and children, you know, as we see, continue. And they have killed thousands of children. So if Muslims stop buying Israeli products, Israel will no longer be able to perpetrate its crimes. Israel will be brought to its knees. It will not be able to make bombs. Mm. So the Israeli economy actually hinges squarely on the money that goes to its budget, its economy, and so it's very important and very essential for Muslims not to allow the import of Israeli products into the Muslim market. And what is regrettable, what we can see, unfortunately, is that some Muslims are having give-and-take relations with the Israeli government, importing Israeli products. That's not good. If you if Muslims want not to be involved in any kind of crime being committed mm-hmm. by the Israeli government, they should not allow the purchase of such products, Israeli products, Zionist products, and they should continue to boycott Israeli products. They should not buy, they should not allow such products to come. And when it comes to the opinion, to the fatwa of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, I should say that according to him, it is incumbent upon every Muslim to refrain from buying and making use of goods production and sale of, you know, and actually dealing with the Zionist products or doing any kind of business which would end up benefiting Zionists and the Israeli economy. And we do know that the Israelis are at war with Islam and Muslims, and they are doing whatever they can to attack Muslims' interest wherever it is. Now, also when it comes to other scholars, for example, let's say Ayatollah Sistani is also very much of the view that Muslims should boycott the Israeli products. They should not buy such things. They should not sell Israeli products under any circumstances. And they should not even buy the products of those companies which are not basically Israeli companies, but they are somehow dealing with Israel. They are allocating part of their income or avenue to help Israel. Mm-hmm. So Muslims should not even buy the products of those companies which are not Israeli, which are not Zionist, and which do not belong to Israelis, but right. They are somehow helping Israel in one way or the other.
I see. You know, the question that I asked you in the first place was related to the import. But what about the export? I mean, does this fatwa apply also to the exports from the Muslim country to the Israeli government?
Of course. When it comes to exporting goods to Israel, again, if it benefits the Zionists in one way or the other, helps the Zionists and the Israeli government, Muslims should not do such thing. They should not export their goods to Israel.
And I guess we have to make clear or the distinguish between you know, those people who follow Prophet Moses and Judaism,
yeah,
and the Israeli
sure.
government, of course.
Yes.
So I don't think this fatwa, in fact, is somehow involving the kind of trade or business with the Jews. Right?
Yeah, of course, with the Jewish community. Of course, there are Jews who are very much strongly opposed to Israel and what it's doing already in the Palestinian.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to business, issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, Sheikh Javid, some importers of Israeli goods falsify the documents and re-export the same goods as though they belong to another country. Sometimes they even claim that, for example, they belong to the Muslim country or some other Western countries, yes, rather than the Israeli government. I don't want to, you know, name names, right, or drop any names. They do so to deceive Muslims because they want to increase their interest and also increase their sales, right?
Yes.
By falsifying those documents, regarding the goods that are of Israeli origin. What should the Muslims do in such circumstances?
Well, basically, Muslims should refrain from buying and promoting and using such goods if they know. You know, it's very... It's unlawful, according to Islamic Sharia, to falsify documents and to import Israeli goods, trying to deceive people. As Muslims, we should not do anything which is, supporting or giving support to our enemies. We do know that the Israelis are actually... are very much strongly hostile to Muslims, and they are destroying Muslims wherever they find Muslims. And they are, they are already at war. They are bombing the Palestinian Muslims, children, men and women, 24/7 these days, and they have already killed more than 27, if not more. Children, men and women, unfortunately, and Muslims, some Muslim countries are not voicing their anger to these atrocities that are being committed by the Israeli government and supported by the United States of America. So it's very much essential that whatever we can, we should do to refrain from buying, from promoting, from advertising, from helping Israel's buying and promoting Israeli goods.
Utter boycott.
Yeah, and then boycotting them whenever and what, under all circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Shabit. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to business according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Maljaa ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun
سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو